Here's a dance you should know. When the lights are down low, grab your baby then go. I do the huckabuck, I do the huckabuck. If you don't know how to do it, boy, you're out of luck. Push your baby out, then you hunch your back. Start a little movement in your sacroiliac. Wiggle like a snake, waddle like a duck. That's the way you do it when you do the hucklebuck.
Hey, not now. Bet and Steny will tell you when. Hey, girls, start talking.
Hello.
Hello, people of Earth, people here, people who love us.
Welcome to the Hucklebuck.
Or at least tolerate us.
I am Steny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Steny. It is episode 642 of the Hucklebug. Bet, 6 minus 4 is 2. We did it.
Woo!
Did I just hear Milo bark?
No, that was okay. Me. I put a raised fist in the air.
Well, I heard you go woo. I heard that too. I heard woo, but I thought I heard a bark.
Nope. Milo's just still chilled
just
out
chilling.
Under the desk.
Just chilling. All right. Good boy. Good boy, Milo. Well, we will begin this week, just as we begin most weeks, we will begin with your shout-outs. Roar! Right.
And we actually, hugglebug.com.
.com. There's a comment over there.
Yes.
Sometimes I think maybe
you
people don't remember it. I don't know. It's for Marla.
Marla. Okay, well, you know, we're talking about your 18th birthday song.
Yes.
Is how you're going to write out 2022.
Okay.
And she says, my 18th birthday number one song was Island Girl by Elton John. Island Girl, what you wanted with the black. And I plan to celebrate my 65th birthday this year in Jamaica. So that tracks.
I did not know she planned to celebrate her 65th birthday in Jamaica.
I mean, that's prophecy, people.
that's how Marla's going to get her groove back.
Yeah.
Isn't that how I'm pretty sure that was how Stella got her groove back. That's why I bring it up, because I'm pretty sure Stella went to Jamaica.
And she says, my childhood memory. Oh, thank you, Marla. My childhood memory is being kicked outside on summery or snowy days.
Get the hell out of the house.
Get out of here. I'll give you a grilled cheese at lunch, then go back out.
Back out. In the wintertime, it sucked to come home for lunch. I mean, it was good because you got warm again, but you get in the house and you had to take everything off. Everything's wet.
Take everything off. All those little snowballs on your pants.
Yeah, everything's wet.
Come on, right.
Everything's wet, and then you go and
you put them all back on.
Yeah, then you have to put everything back on. I mean, I would put like fresh socks on. I would put on like new dry socks,
you know,
two pairs usually.
As a person today, I couldn't do all that. But when you're a kid, you know, it sucks, but you do it
too much
because you want to go back out.
You can't wait to get back out.
Yeah.
Thank you, Marla, for your shout out.
Yay.
Now we shall move over here to hucklebug.com. Oh, you know what? I do have two. Just a second. I just remembered.
Oh,
I'm calling an audible. I do have 2 U rules. I'm adding one.
Okay. That's
so just
great.
FYI. Yeah. Okay. Under the missive on our Facebook page, not the missive, under the episode.
Nope. Episode.
Under the
episode. He was on Laverne and Shirley.
He was on Laverne and Shirley.
I still shake my head.
That was funny. We have a shout out here for Susquita.
We need you so.
She says, reminder, the Pete and I did a parody of Happy to Be Stuck with You in 2020, which both Bet and I had temporarily forgotten.
Had forgotten, and now that we remember it.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my God.
It was the highlight of the early pandemic.
Exactly.
It was so long ago. It feels like lifetimes ago, honestly. So long ago, she says. And while I can't tell you, while I was in line for a COVID test with a bunch of actors, the actor in front of me was testing to be part of next season of Only Murders in the Building. So season 2 is in production now.
Ooh.
Well, we know now why you were in that line, Siski.
Yes.
And
by the way, folks, apropos of last week, I finished Only Murders in the Building.
Oh.
The very next day after I talked
about it. Yeah, I figured.
Loved it.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Can't wait for season 2. It's going to be fun. Lots of fun. Fun show.
Yes.
Our next shout out for Kelly with an I.
Kelly! And she says, my number one song at 18 was When I See You Smile by Bad English. And I can only remember the chorus. When I see you smile. And then she says, so I really miss the days of teaching Sunday school. I did it when E, Irvin, the cute, of course, was in third grade and then just taught for about 8 years, either doing third, fourth, or fifth. Those kids were the best age. Mm-hmm. And I brought Play-Doh so we could play as everyone was coming in. Yeah. Also, I love that smell.
Yep.
And I so related to both The Hand Under the Bed and Running When I Turned Out the Light. I might sometimes still do that in the basement. Ooh, is the basement scary?
If I had a basement, I would probably also run out of it when I turned the light off. That's why you need a light at the top of the stairs. I remember trying
to beat the light into the bed.
Oh, yeah.
And then we have
you take that one too.
Well, and it's for Kelly, et cetera, et cetera. She says, also hope Bet's knee is better. We'll talk
about that. It doesn't sound like it's any better to me.
We'll talk about that later, Kelly. There will be more about that later,
you guys. You knew there would be. If we scroll up just a teensy bit here,
under our missive,
we have a shout out for Doug. We are Doug.
We are the starcher.
I almost gave him an et cetera, et cetera. That's not right. He doesn't get an et cetera, et cetera. Doug says the number one song on his 18th birthday was You Should Be Dancing by the Bee Gees. You should be dancing, yeah. That's a classic.
Does that fit with you, Doug? Are you a dancer?
Doug, should you be dancing in 2022?
I mean, he's into the musical theater world. Does he dance?
I've never seen Doug dance, but my understanding is that he's quite a good roller skater, and I wonder if he ever did roller disco back in the day.
Well, I was going to say, if he's a good roller skater, that would work for him.
Dougie, let us know if you were a roller disco guy. I suspect maybe you were. And our final shout out this week is from Marla.
I just want to say, Doug, number one song on my 18th birthday, You Should Be Dancing. Was that before Saturday Night Fever?
I think that was on the soundtrack.
I was going to say, are we the same age? That was my question.
Is that 77?
78 was my 18th birthday.
Oh, 78 was your 18th birthday?
So maybe he's 1 year.
His big solo number, John Travolta's big solo number was You Should Be Dancing.
Doug, you and me, bud.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
Anyway, our final shout-out is from
Marla, et cetera, et cetera.
And she says, have a great show. I don't know if I already said that.
We hope to.
Thanks, Marla. Oh, yay, we begin with Marla and we end with Marla.
The book ends perfect.
Right. Thank you. Those are your shout-outs.
And now it's time for shoe.
It's time for shoe, the really big shoe.
Yes.
Beth has a movie.
I have a movie.
And she's totally stoked. That's all I know. You're going to be stoked.
I am stoked because, you know, I'm kind of at the trifecta 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1, Paul McCartney from you.
Yes.
Only Murders in the Building from you.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Today. Hmm. I queued up and watched The Young and Prodigious T.S. Spivot.
Oh, goody.
From you.
Yes, that's right. From me.
And let me tell you, I loved it. I really loved it.
Okay,
good. I loved it, but it kind of took my mind in places I wasn't ready for. And maybe because I don't want to spoil anything for anyone who might watch this, you really have to just let people watch it, don't you? Right. So maybe afterwards we can have a little discussion.
Oh, yeah. Let's do that.
There was a point where I kind of quote unquote realized things. Mm-hmm. And then at the end, I thought it was kind of getting heavy handed. I still loved it, but I thought this is just, and then at the end, the way it ends, and I'm thinking, oh my God, wait, I thought I realized something, but shouldn't I have not realized it. I should have. It was wild. I loved it. I love the way it's filmed. I love the land that they live on.
Oh, yeah.
I love the little pop-up books for all the chapters. Mm-hmm. But I have to tell you something, and probably the reason that I was kind of trying to wrap my head around something and then realized other things. Mm-hmm. This movie came out, I think, in 2013.
Yeah.
And you were saying the straight story, which, of course,
the straight story
great. Yeah. And, but I was thinking Young Sheldon, the TV show.
Well, I've never seen Young Sheldon, well, so I wouldn't have been.
Well, I've only started watching it and really enjoying it. Hmm. And I was thinking Young Sheldon came out in 2017. They had to have come up with the idea of Young Sheldon from watching this movie.
Oh, you think?
Oh, yes. And Young and Prodigious, T.S. Spivitt.
Everybody's
so good. And just a fun ride.
The Hufflebug recommends. Great. It's already an early candidate for me for movie of the year. I know it's only February.
But it's nice
to have a candidate this early, though, because, you know, last year I was like, what is even going to be my movie? I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Feel good movie.
I think so, yes, but not, you know, not in the way that other movies are feel good movies.
Yeah, there's pain. There's pain in it.
Yeah, there is. There's pain. I will say this. This was something I meant to say when I reviewed it originally. The impression I had a few times while watching the movie was that intellectual people are good and people who work with their hands are not necessarily as good, which is not a great theme. Right. It's a bad theme, in fact, because it's not that simple.
Yeah.
And it's also wrong. So a couple of times I felt that way. And towards the end, I was like, well, all right. So there's dicks who are intellectuals in this movie. And then there's some great, solid people who are, the common type who work with their hands, whatever. But yeah, there were a few points in the movie where I thought, I'm not sure that's, I don't know if it's intentional, but that's the impression I'm getting from it.
Yeah. And also where that goes, how it works into the family dynamic.
Yes.
Where the father and the son,
and the father and the mother.
And the father and the mother, exactly. And the mother, who was just woohoo out there.
Mother was in cloud cuckoo
land. And then the sister, Grace, was the sister.
Yeah, Grace. I loved her.
Loved her.
She was a great balance between them as well, I thought.
Yes.
She was great. Yeah, we'll talk more about that after this, because, you don't want to spoil it. But everybody see it.
Right, exactly.
You are going to have to pay for it.
Because you have to see it.
That's right.
We'll unlock a door where you can go.
It's on Amazon Prime. You're going to have to pay to rent it, but it's really good.
It's $2.99.
If you've got digital credits stored up from that time that you said, no rush on the shipping.
Right.
You got digital credits stored up. You use them to rent this movie for free.
Thanks, Stans.
You are welcome.
You got three in a row, girl.
Well,
you got three in a row.
I'm going for four. Do you want to hear about my movie this week?
Sure.
Gang, are you tired of documentaries about the Beatles? Because I got one more.
Ooh.
Now, this one I watched on Amazon Prime for free. This is free if you have a Prime membership. And this one is called Good Ol' Frida. And it is a documentary about Frida Kelly, who was the Beatles. She was Brian Epstein's secretary, and she ran the Beatles fan club from basically the time that the Beatles fan club started until it ended.
Oh, wow. I have not seen that. As much as I go to Amazon Prime, never seen that.
I just was scrolling through, and I was like, what's that, Good Ol' Frida? And then I think I saw there was like a little picture of the Beatles in the corner or something like that, or a picture of her with them or something. It's lovely, and it's a delight. And this woman still lives in England, probably. She still lives in Liverpool, I should say. Maybe even it's still in the same house. She still works as a secretary.
And, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
About how old are we talking?
Well, she's got to be.
People are dying out, folks.
She was young. She was like, she's the same age basically as the Beatles. She was like 17.
Okay.
When she first started going to the cavern to see them.
Okay. So we got two left, so she can be left too. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. She's the third. She's the, right. Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I kind of, you know, as I was watching, you know, you hear all the time about George Martin, and you hear about Brian Epstein,
yes.
and you hear about all of these other people, you hear about all these people being talked about as the fifth Beatle. I think yes. Frida is the sixth Beatle. That's what I would place her as, the sixth Beatle. But you know what? She gave away, like, all her fan club memorabilia, which she had a fuck ton of, I'm sure you know.
Oh, God.
Gave it all away, but she did it on purpose. She gave it to actual fans. You know, she wanted to make sure that everything was going to people who would love it and treasure it and not sell it.
Wouldn't sell it, exactly.
Yeah. But, I mean, she was Brian Epstein's secretary, so I'm sure she got paid okay.
Oh, God.
But she's not rich or anything like that. And what I think is that if Paul and Ringo see this movie, they better send her $1 million each. Because there's no reason she should still be working.
Oh.
She should just be able to take it easy in her senior years. But it's a lovely little film.
But working, do they say, does she like still working?
They don't say. Okay. They interview her daughter briefly, and her daughter sounds kind of angry that, you know, everybody else who's even tangentially related to the Beatles is filthy
rich.
And she's not. You know, she's still, her mom's still working. She didn't sound pissed off, but I mean, maybe it was just a particularly salty part of that interview. She was like, you know, she shouldn't still have to be working 6 days a week, which is totally true.
She'd had a hard day that day.
Maybe. But the reason they made the movie, apparently she's never talked about it to anybody. She's never talked to anybody about it. She said there are people who know her, and her daughter said this too, there are people who know her who've known her all her life, or
had
all
no
their
idea.
Lives, and had no idea that she was the Beatles' secretary for such a long time. And she was with the Beatles from the time that from the
Maybe
time
she
they
liked
started.
It that way, you know.
She did like it that way,
yeah.
But well, there's a reason that she decides to tell her story now, and that's in the movie. So if you see the movie, you will see that.
Well, are you kidding me? I've got to see this movie.
I figured you would. So it's called Good Old Frida, and it's about Frida Kelly, the Beatles' secretary, and she called Brian Epstein Epi. Brian Epstein, famous for his temper tantrums and being difficult to get along with. She calls him Epi.
Yes, Epi.
Well, apparently the Beatles all called him Epi also.
You're not, yeah. You're not going to mess with me, Epi.
That's right. There was some fun stuff in there about Brian.
Right out of here.
Gosh, Brian Epstein. He was a handsome devil, wasn't he?
He was a dandy. He certainly was a dandy.
He was a dandy. He was posh as well. He had a posh accent.
Yes.
That's what everybody says about him. He was posh.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a lot. You know, he's fashionable and stylish, but, you know, he's good looking, too. He's as good looking as the
Beatles. But I love that, you know, it was his dad who owned the store, and he mm-hmm. said, Dad, can I take the record section over?
Yes. That's exactly what happened.
It might work. It might work, Dad. I promise you, it might work.
It ended up working. Spoiler alert, it ended up working. Anyway, good old Frida, thumbs up for that.
Oh, yes.
What do we got next?
Well, I got a lowlight of the week, people, and I don't think anybody has any question about what it's going to be. It happened Monday night. When I wrenched my knee,
yes.
And I mean, you know, a few years ago, I wrenched my knee, ended up in the ER, then
right.
ended up going to see David Sedaris on a walker.
That's right. I remember.
I'm not on a walker yet, because I don't have to go far places.
Right.
But it happened. Oh, God, Stens, it happened from a place that I hate because I'm just ashamed of how feeble I am.
Oh,
but, you know. I can't walk on grass because it's bumpy and, you know, and so I can't. And so if I go up steps, I have to have something to hold on to.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I have one, I call it one step. It's maybe two, but one step and then into the kitchen floor.
Yeah.
And so Monday night I had packed up my stuff. I was holding in my left hand my mug of water.
Mm-hmm.
I had a composition notebook in my hand.
Uh-huh.
And so then, of course, on my right hand, I had to hold on to the door facing into
right.
the kitchen.
So you and could so, get up.
Yes. And so I took the first step. And when I went to take the second step, the composition notebook started to fall out. Mm. So what's the first thing you do? You grab it.
You grab, yeah.
And so I grabbed it, and I had no hand on the door facing, and I just went kablooey. And thank God, I fell to the right, and the refrigerator is there, so I didn't fall in the floor.
Well, and it's a good thing it's only one step as well, because you could have...
Exactly.
Big staircase.
But you know, I hit the refrigerator, and my knee went, and at the time, I thought, oh, God. Damn, pardon my language. Yeah. God damn. And then, you know, I picked up the composition notebook. The water didn't fall. You put it over on the counter. That's and so cool. I kind of walked it off, washed up my stuff, you know, from the night, washed up my dishes from the night, got ready for bed, went to bed, put my knee up on the ottoman, you know, to go to sleep. Woke up the next morning, I guess, where it was in that one position. I could not freaking move. On Tuesday, it probably only took me two tries to get up out of the chair and start going to work.
Yeah.
But it hurt so bad. And so, you know, I went to work and, you know, was talking about how horrible it is and everything. And so I had decided, okay, Tuesday night, I'm coming back. Getting an ice pack, putting it on my knee all night, watch the Olympics, you know. And so I guess because I did that when I got up Wednesday morning, it was even worse. It took me four tries to get up. I didn't even go to work Wednesday morning. I called Pat. I said, Pat, you don't
can't get out of my chair.
I can't get there. And when I do, you don't want me there because all I do is scream every time I try to move my leg. You know? And, you know, I go like this, you know, and she hates that. She despises that.
Right.
Said, Pat, just.
I'm sure Pat's like, we understand that it hurts.
I'll be in the afternoon if I can get there, whatever.
Yeah.
And so, San, my friend, workmate and mother figure, said, have you? Yes. I said, she said, do you have any Biofreeze? And I said, no. I started to put Soltis on my knee, but I didn't want to smell like a men's locker room when I came in. She said, oh, I've got some Biofreeze. I swear by it. She fell like last year.
Yeah.
She said, when I go to lunch, Pat will come by and I'll give it to her and she'll bring it back.
Yeah.
It has pretty much kept me going.
Okay. That's good.
However, it's not getting better.
And
you know, Pat kept saying, well, you got to go to the emergency room. You got to go get an x-ray. An x-ray will show if nothing's broken. Well, nothing's broken.
What if you did your ACL?
I've just torn all of the, and you know, when I put my knee up and I kind of turn it to the side as I often do when I sleep, it goes, you can hear it and you can feel it. And it's kind of now come kind of down into my calf, like I kind of have a Charlie horse. And so I told Stens, I had to go get coffee, and I will later so you can turn off the sound. Every time I get up and down, I make that awful sound.
Yeah, she's having a rough time, you guys.
But, you know, my God, I never thought my life would come to this point.
I do, you know, I don't think you need to go to the emergency room.
I don't.
I would feel better if you saw a doctor, but in case it is something like your ACL and then maybe they can do something, maybe they can at least give you some pain pills or something for it.
Well, I don't want pain pills. I just want it to get better by, you know, stretching and bending and moving. But, you know, the kind of thing I've thought about all week. Dr. Ass Massage.
I was just thinking about Dr. Ass Massage. I thought maybe Dr. Ass Massage could do it.
Could he massage my leg and sing me some Elton John songs?
Yes.
Everything would be
better. Everything would be all right.
And I probably need a referral, but Dr. Non-Smoking Javier would do that for me.
Of course.
So if things don't get better pronto, that might be my next course of action.
All right. Good. I think I've asked you this before because I know you've certainly had occasional difficulties with your knee. Do you have like a knee brace? Do you have a brace?
Well,
or like an ace bandage you can wrap it up in, well, maybe when you go to bed, and that'll keep it at least that, from moving around weird in your sleep.
Well, I do and I don't, and that's kind of a touchy subject with me.
I figured it
you know, I'm a big
touchy.
Girl. I have big legs.
Yeah.
And first of all, we have new girl at work. I haven't even touched on that yet.
No, we haven't even talked about new girl.
But she's so nice. And, you know, she said, well, you know, maybe you could put a brace on it. And she said, is it swollen? And I said, well, I don't know if it's swollen because these are my legs. I mean, they're huge anyway.
Well, but it's bigger than the other one, then yes.
But there is swelling. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I've got like a big neoprene blue thing with Velcro.
Yeah.
But it's made for people with normal legs. So.
Yeah.
You know,
that's
so
harder. That's
know,
harder, but an ace bandage might help.
Hard
anymore.
When you're a big. It's hard. It's tough out there when you're a big.
Yeah.
Girl. But I'm still working on it, and I'm still hoping, and I'm still going every time I move. And I'm out of coffee, so when I go for a refill, I'll tell you when to mute.
Okay. No, I'm not muting. I'm gonna leave it on. Might be our tag. We'll find out.
And by the way, you know, sitting up, standing down, that's hard enough.
Yeah.
Sitting up, standing up, sitting down,
yeah,
goes to going to the bathroom as well.
Oh, yeah. You got to do both of those things.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Are you using your, don't you still, do you still have the walker or did you like
don't,
rent it?
Because it came from San. It was mom's walker. Gotcha. So it's back at San's. If I asked her for it, I'd get it.
Oh yeah, you'd get it.
You know. But
or a cane, something like that.
A cane.
I remember I fucked up
I need to buy me a hurricane, you know, those commercials.
Yeah, there you go, a hurricane. I when I tried to be a jogger, which did not last very long, I injured a groin muscle or something like that. And I ended up using like a baseball bat just to get around the house.
Hey, I used to, back before, I have a little walking, it's like a hiking stick. It's not a walking stick.
I have hiking poles.
That I use mainly for balance, but I keep it with me at all times. Mm-hmm. But before that, when the snow happened and I was having trouble getting from here to there, I used a cubular, is that it? You know, it's a cube. Yardstick. I would just lean on. I mean, you know, how strong is a cubular yardstick? You know,
I like cubular. I like the word cubular. I don't know if it's real, but I like it. Oh. Cubular. It's
cubular.
Totally. That's totally cubular.
It's
we
tubular
had,
and cubular.
We had a yardstick that was triangular. It was a pyramidal.
Oh, okay. Triangular is nice too.
Yeah, and it had different. You know, it had
arty. You know,
yeah, and it had. I'm trying to remember how that worked out because I know it had inches and it had centimeters and meters, but I can't remember what the third thing was. It had to have been a third thing. Why else would it be there? But what other measurement thing is there? What, like hands? Like how tall
furlongs.
A horse is? Furlongs? Furlongs. I don't know. Anyway, all right. Well, I have a Watch Your Phraseology this week.
Yes, can't wait.
This is what I've been meaning to do for a while because it was something that came up when I was staying with my dad.
Oh.
Well, I don't remember. We were doing something together and, you know, wasn't working. And then we got it working. And I spontaneously burst out with.
As happens with dad.
Yes. And then I spontaneously burst out with, now we're cooking with gas. And dad thought that was funny. And he said, why do people say, he said, you know, now we're cooking with gas. And then it kind of became like our catchphrase. So we would both say it. And he said, I wonder why people say now we're cooking with gas. So I said, well, I'll look it up.
I've also heard now we're cooking with peanut oil.
Oh, now I've never heard that.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a real thing.
Okay. Well, but mostly gas.
Well, you've heard
now
it, but.
Now we're cooking with gas.
Now we're cooking with gas is you know, it's the old, an old fave. So now we're cooking with gas where the fuck is it? Now we're cooking with gas originated in the mid to late 1930s as an advertising slogan thought up by the natural gas industry to convince people to use gas rather than electricity to power their kitchen stoves. This is what's interesting. There wasn't like a commercial, because it was the 1930s. There could have been a radio. There was no. It wasn't like a radio commercial. We're out of time. See, we still can't do it.
We're getting close, though.
We are getting closer. They didn't do it. They didn't do slogans in magazines or radio commercials traditionally, but instead,
newspapers.
No, not like that either. The phrase was coined by a Californian Deke Holgate, who worked in public relations for the American Gas Association in the 1930s. Instead of going the usual advertising route of the period, which is print advertisements in papers and magazines and radio spots, Deke struck out in a new direction. His son later explained that his father planted it with Bob Hope's writers, and they in turn wrote it into his scripts. Well, once Bob Hope's team started saying, "Now we're cooking with gas," in the middle of the Bob Hope show, not in relation to it, just as a phrase.
That is advertising genius,
isn't it? And then it grew from there. They started using it on the Jack Benny show, and they started using it in other radio shows. And then there's even a Daffy Duck cartoon where Daffy Duck says, "Now we're cooking with gas." It's like way ahead of its time in terms of marketing. Wow. It's kind of fascinating to me. So that's where cooking with gas comes from, you guys.
That's great.
Yeah. It was a way to just kind of implant that in the public's brain.
Yeah.
And then everybody else starts saying it because they heard Bob Hope say it and they heard Jack Benny say it and stuff. And then they're like, maybe we should cook with gas. Anyway, so there's cooking with gas.
That's great. Really? That's interesting.
It's a fun one. Let's do our U rules then and get the fuck out.
Yes, I've got two U rules.
I also have two U rules as well.
And the first, as you might imagine, is to biofreeze.
Biofreeze.
And of course to San, who gave me her biofreeze. Mm-hmm. And I said, I will repay you with this. And she said, no.
Yeah.
But I was getting to the end of hers. And so I went to the drugstore and got two more bottles so I could pay her back with one. And when I gave it to her, she just kind of laughed and said, "Are you kidding me?" And I said, "No, you did me such a favor. I cannot but pay you back." So,
right.
Thank you, Biofreeze and San. My second U rule, and we were talking about this at the Olympics, and now I think you may not agree, but to Shaun White.
No, Shaun White's on my list too. I don't disagree.
Okay.
Let's do it together. A joint U rule for Shaun White, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, when he was a kid, all those Olympics ago with the long flowing hair, was the flying tomato. He was everywhere. He could have been such a celebrity and just took that and become, the flying tomato forever.
Yes.
But he kept at it and he kept at it.
Yep.
And, you said they showed so much of him shaking hands with people. Other snowboarders love him.
Oh, of course. He's a fucking legend.
Yes, and he loves them too. Mm-hmm. And when they interviewed him, he just bawled. And the thing of it, when you end your career and you've been so great, he was so grateful for everything he had. Mm-hmm. I just bawled my eyes out. He is, Shaun, next Olympics, you're going to be in the booth. I know it.
Please be in the booth.
We're
going to
love you. we're going to love you.
Yeah. Shaun, replace that other guy in the booth because that guy was terrible. But first of all, what a
comet he was.
Oh,
but
God,
also
yeah.
a sweet and gentle soul.
Yes.
And just love him. And when they were interviewing him and then showed him the clip of all of his family in California.
Not a mask in sight, I noticed. There's a gathering of like 40 people and none of them are wearing masks. I get they're all family
a lot of
shit.
Stories
at
about
least
the
pretend.
Olympics,
at least pretend. Everybody's watching you on television. At least go, oh, the cameras. Put the masks on for the cameras.
But just who you are, Shaun. Just you rule.
I also have a U
Never
rule.
Never will be another Shaun like White. You.
Shaun White is also on my U rule list. And I know I said I was just annoyed. I would rather I get it. I understand why they're following Sean White around.
History. You know, you filming have to
him.
Do that.
Yeah. But I also, I would like to watch the Japanese guy go, who's making history himself doing a triple jump.
Well, and personally, Sean himself would probably feel the same way.
I think Sean would agree with
you. Show that guy, man. Show him.
I'm sure he would have preferred for everybody to be showing the heats rather than him walking around, you know, slapping high fives with people. But yeah, I mean, you know, the phrase "the goat" gets thrown around quite a bit, doesn't it? A little too much, but he is. There is no one else who can be the goat of snowboarding.
Well, frankly, I hate that term. I like the best of all time. You're the boat.
The boat.
Sean is the boat.
The best of all time instead of the greatest of all time.
Tom Brady might think he's the goat, but Sean's the boat.
But, you know, 36 years old, so now he's retired from the Olympics. Yeah. We will probably, this is probably our last Olympic update on Sean White, you guys, the flying tomato. I kept thinking about, you know, when he invented the McTwist
the early days.
He's an innovator. He's not just an athlete. He's an innovator. It's been a joy to watch him at the Olympics, you know, every 4 years for the last forever.
And he went out on his own terms.
He did. The only thing that sucked is that he didn't get a medal and that he fell on his last run.
Yeah, but he went for it. And he was happy that he went for it.
Yeah.
You know.
I love him. You rule, Sean White. My other you rule is for Sisquita. We need you so. Because I'm so stoked, Sisquita, to see you on Hulu in a show. You've got to keep us posted and let us know when it's going to be on. I don't know if you guys saw it, but go to Sisquita's Facebook page. I just assume all y'all are Facebook friends with each other, so I assume you all are. Here it is. Okay, I found it. Here we go. I can now reveal I've taken a step to add a new line on my resume, television co-star. I shot today as part of Fleischman Is in Trouble. My scene partners were Claire Danes and Jesse Eisenberg.
Whoa!
Directed by Jonathan Drayton and Valerie Faris.
Oh, it made Little Miss Sunshine!
Right. Screenplay adapted from her own novel by Taffy Brodesser Ackner, who must be married to Claude Brodesser Ackner! But I'm married to Claude Brodesser Ackner. Remember when I wanted to get married to Claude Brodesser Ackner and my name was going to be Heidi Brodesser Ackner Sackerson? I couldn't wait for that to happen. Oh my God. This is an FX limited series which will stream on Hulu.
FX does go to Hulu.
Yeah. Yeah. So also cool, I'm working for Disney again. She thanks her agent, her coach, James Beeman, and myself, tape reader husband, Pete.
Pete.
Anyway, yeah, go check it out. That's on her Facebook page.
Oh, yes.
But you rule, Sisquita, and I'm so stoked for you. I'm so happy for you, and I totally can't wait to see it on Hulu. And I hope, because I said, you know, I'm so stoked for you or whatever. I left a comment saying, congratulations, I can't wait to see it. And she said, you know, I hope they don't cut me. I hope, Sisquita, that they treat you better than they treated Kelly with a Y on that show where she played the wife who was assaulted with a golf club. And we less than a second, literally less than a second. So I hope that you get better treatment than that. But congratulations, and that's awesome.
Don't we just love the success of our people?
We certainly do. We certainly listen.
In whatever field.
We have a hard time coming by success on our own, so we have to feed off of that of our listeners.
Yes.
Congratulations, Sisquita. I'm totally stoked and can't wait to see it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure I've said stoked way too many times in this podcast. Sure, I've said it way too often. I mean, like I was saying it way early to you. It's because I watched that half pipe.
All of a sudden,
everything is dope, and I'm stoked about it. So, anyway, you guys, that is our show this week.
Yes,
and you know, I'm still here.
I was going to say, do you know about?
I still don't know.
Okay. I'm on hold for any time.
I can tell you for sure I'm not going to be here March 5th. The first Saturday in March. I definitely won't be.
Well, I was
then.
Thinking that Saturday, a couple of weeks from now, it's the 26th.
Yeah. Ooh, that's your birthday, isn't it?
If we're not, it's fine. You know.
All right. Well, hopefully we will be. I just don't know. I do not know what's going on with my dad.
Hey,
I do know
whatever
my mom's
you need, out. Love. You know.
My mom's coming out for a visit the first weekend in March, so that's why I won't be here. Ooh. In March, because I'll be with mom. And then dad, we still don't know. So, you know, you guys will be the first to know when I do find out. But yes. Ain't now. All right, gang. So hopefully we're back next week. Until that time, I am Stenny.
And I'm Bet.
We're Bet and Stenny. You've been listening to The Hucklebug. Bye, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. We love you.
That's the way you do it when you do the Hucklebug.